And a real special welcome to you if you are new or visiting here. Maybe this is your first time in a church. Way to go. Let's talk about taking a risk, coming to a church. And so we just want you to know that we welcome you in as part of our family. Though, you know, sometimes family, you know, you can't choose them. No. Hey, special welcome to you if you're visiting or a guest. We're thankful you're here. When I was growing up, both my parents worked full-time jobs. And so it meant that our family had to find a time in the rhythm of our week to go grocery shopping. And so my parents chose the time of Thursday evening. So every Thursday at 6 p.m., my mom, my dad, my sister and I, we would pile into the car and we would drive to the AMP. It was a local grocery store. And as you can imagine, as a 9-year-old boy, I was not happy with this arrangement on a Thursday evening. But like clockwork, Thursday, 6 p.m. would roll around, we would pile into the car, and we went shopping. Week after week, month after month, year after year. It was our routine. At the grocery store, my sister and I, we had a routine of our own. We would always go out every week. We would find the aisle with the soft drinks in them, and we would buy a special drink called a New York seltzer. Anyone remember these? I grew up in Ontario in the 80s. No one. Trust me, they're a real thing, New York seltzer. And then after we picked out our special drink, the whole family, after we were done shopping, we would go next door to Harvey's, a hamburger restaurant. You know what Harvey's is, right? Okay, good. Harvey's. We would go to Harvey's afterwards, and I would get the same thing every week. Burger and fries, and on the burger, ketchup, mustard, and extra pickles. That was my order as a 9-year-old boy. But there was more to the ritual than that. After we got our food, we would all pile back into the car, drive home, and we would watch The Cosby Show on television on Thursday night. And it's funny, even though I didn't really care for having to go to the grocery store every Thursday as a young boy, when I think back on my childhood, it's those memories that are some of my favorite memories. When I think about the love and care that my family has for one another, that is the memory that comes to the surface. The weekly rhythm of shopping and seltzer and Harvey's and The Cosby Show. Week after week, month after month, year after year. You see, it's often the things that we do over and over again on a regular basis that shape our heart in a particular direction. Now, for centuries, the Christian church has practiced what I like to call ancient rhythms. They are spiritual practices that keep us connected to Jesus and growing into the life He's designed us for. Spiritual practices like reading scripture, prayer, silence and solitude, Sabbath. These practices, they help us live with Jesus day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. Living with Jesus. That is the entire goal of the Christian faith, is it not? Living with Jesus every day, every week, every month, every year. When we practice these ancient rhythms, they help us live into the goal of living with Jesus. They shape our hearts in that direction. Let me suggest to you two things off the top of the sermon today, and they might ruffle a feather or two. Let me first suggest that if your life does not include any kind of regular spiritual practices, that you're missing out on something good, that you're missing out on something important. The Christian life cannot be lived without an ongoing relationship with Christ. And we need structures to help us live into that fact. But the second, let me also suggest that if your life is simply confined to the same one or two spiritual practices, that you're still missing out on something good, something important. The fullness of the Christian life that God intends for you and for me cannot be cultivated simply through the same one or two spiritual rhythms. Why? Because there's always more of God to experience. And because the different types of ancient rhythms, they cultivate something unique in our life with Jesus. Each different spiritual rhythm helps us step into something unique about our life with Jesus. For instance, regular reading of Scripture. When we read Scripture regularly, that spiritual discipline, that spiritual practice, it awakens us to the truth that we see in Scripture, but it also awakens us to a God who speaks. But the regular practice of prayer does something a little different. Prayer cultivates a personal intimacy with a God who wants to be known. It develops our dependence on a God who always provides. And the practice of silence and solitude does something different still. It trains us to hear God's voice in a world of noise and competing voices. And Sabbath, it does something different still. Sabbath is the weekly rhythm that reminds us that the fruit of our labor is actually meant to be enjoyed, and that rest is part of God's gift for humanity. You see, the point I want to make is that the different spiritual disciplines, they each cultivate different things in a person. And so some of the earliest Christians, they would implement a variety of these different rhythms that incorporated different disciplines in order to grow into the fullness of the life that Christ has for each one of us. They wanted to live with Jesus more fully, more completely. And that's how the spiritual disciplines are intended to work. So, why not try something new this year? A new rhythm. A new rhythm that will help you live with Jesus in a renewed way. Why not pick up a new rhythm that will infuse something new, something more, something fresh in your life with Jesus? Today, I want to talk about a spiritual rhythm that we don't often speak about. It's something we typically don't even consider as a spiritual practice. It's the spiritual rhythm of play. Play. Here is my conviction. A spiritual rhythm of play helps us to enjoy God and the good gifts that He has given us. You're going to hear that a lot this morning. Stepping into the regular habit of taking time to play can help us enjoy God and the good gifts that He has given to each one of us. I've taken up skiing since moving to the Okanagan. What a gift this is in my life. I can't even tell you how much of a gift that is to me. Typically on Monday, which is my day off, during the winter, I'll go up to Big White, either on my own or with a friend, and I'll play on my skis in the snow. It's amazing. I was up there a few weeks ago. I was all on my own, and it was one of those glorious days. It had snowed a ton the night before. There were heaps of that Okanagan champagne powder. I hear like Michael Jay's voice in my ear when I say that. The sun was peeking through the clouds. It was a glorious day. And I had skied down a run through the trees just off the Black Forest chairlift, if you're familiar with the area. And I was plowing through knee-deep powder. It was one of those days. And I kid you not, about every 30 seconds or so, I would hit a pillow of snow flying through the air, and I would shout out in joy. Woohoo! You would have laughed if you had seen me in that moment. In fact, I think the people coming down the chairlift who were watching me were laughing. Maybe it was because of the way I was skiing, I'm not sure. And as I rode the chairlift back up the hill, all on my own, looking over the snow-dusted mountains around me, I was so aware of God's presence. I was aware of His delight in that moment, and I thought of the delight that He had as He saw me, saying, "Woohoo!" I became full of thanksgiving, and so I prayed. God, thank you for the gift of delight. Thank you that you are with me. Thank you for this, your creation, that I get to enjoy. Thank you for the ability to do this and to delight in your playground. I think the people on the chairlift behind me were wondering, why has that guy got his hands in the air? It's what it looked like. Let me say it again. A spiritual rhythm of play. It helps us enjoy God and the gifts that he's given to us. But let me pause from that thought for just a moment to say something that I know many of you are thinking. Play isn't spiritual. Isn't that our reaction? It's the thoughts I wrestled with before being able to say this with any integrity. Play is far too casual to be spiritual. It's not serious enough to be spiritual. That's often how we first react, isn't it? But it's simply not true. I officiated a wedding a number of years ago. My wife Gina and I, we had done some of the pre-marriage mentoring with this couple, and in that time we really grew to love this young couple. They were a perfect match for one another. They had met in Bible college, they fell in love, and the rest was history. And I recall the moment that I was standing at the front of the altar with them on their wedding day. I was officiating the service. And it was a deeply spiritual moment of joining two lives together with God at the center. It was and always is a sacred moment. The promise of two lives joining together. It's a picture of God's everlasting commitment to each one of us. The ceremony was deeply spiritual. There was a moment where I remember pausing and breathing it in. But then, after the sacredness of the ceremony, came the celebration of the reception. And you know what? I just wanted to dance. I think I wanted to dance because you really need to see me dancing. It is amazing. I'll just leave it at that. I just wanted to dance because and it wasn't because I like to dance. It's not because I wanted to show off my moves. It was because I cannot think of a better reason to shake your booty on the dance floor than in celebration of the gift of marriage and all that it represents. It is a time for celebration. It is a time to let loose and allow us to step into and enjoy the goodness of God with other people. I just wanted to celebrate. Here's the point. The celebration of the wedding reception is no less spiritual than the sacredness of the wedding ceremony. The dance is no less spiritual than the pledge. You see, the playfulness of dance that day was itself a sign that God was alive in the world. Our play is not something separate from our spirituality. Play can be a spiritual rhythm that opens us to God in a really important way. And play is actually something that God invites us into. God invites us into play. In the book of Ecclesiastes, God tells us, his word says, there is a time for everything. There's a time for everything. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. It's an invitation to enjoy the gifts he's given and the God that he is. Ken Shigematsu, in his book, and we worked through this a couple years ago as a church, God in My Everything, How an Ancient Rhythm Helps Busy People Enjoy God. This is what Ken says in his book. If we focus our time and energy only on the likes of prayer, study, or social justice, we can become overly intense. He's affirming those things, but if they're the only things, we can become overly intense. Too serious. We lose our joy. Our ability to laugh, to light in the beauty, to delight in the beauty around us. That's why entering into a spiritual rhythm is so important. It helps us step into something that we really need, to enjoy God and the gifts that he's given us. When we include play as part of our life with Jesus, we come to appreciate Jesus more. We come to appreciate the gifts that he has given us, like the gift of his creation, his world, or the gift of ourselves, our bodies, our minds, our feelings, our myriad of emotions. Or we come to appreciate more the gift of other people, family, friends. Let me say it again. A spiritual rhythm of play helps us enjoy God and the gifts that he's given us. Kids are a great reminder of this, aren't they? Anyone have grandkids? Or seen a kid? You never need to convince a kid to play, do you? You just simply don't need to do it. When my kids were young, we would play this game called Cool as a Cucumber. All right, time out. Don't judge me on this one, all right? This is just what happens in our household. I'm a little strange. I won't say we. I'm a little strange. We invented a game called Cool as a Cucumber. Essentially, it consists of me standing at the foot of our bed, pretending to close my eyes, important part, pretending to close my eyes and to be a ninja who could see everything. And my kids, they would be on the bed trying to sneak up on me to grab me, but the ninja, who was as cool as a cucumber, would always seem to know their next move, right? And you know why. And so at a moment's notice, as they were approaching, I could reach out with my hand, grab them by the legs, and flip them over so they fell down on the bed. And I'd say, cool as a cucumber. And the game always ended in me getting tired and calling it quits. But my kids, they always beg me for more. Even now that they're 10 and 8, from time to time, they remember the game and they say, Dad, can we play Cool as a Cucumber? And as silly as it was, that playtime, mark this, church, that playtime was the entryway to enjoying one another's company. It was the means by which my children enjoyed the presence of their father the most. They delighted in their time with me, and guess what? I delighted in them. And if play can do that between an earthly father and his children, it most certainly can between a heavenly father and his children, between God and us. A spiritual rhythm of play can be the entryway to enjoying God's presence in your own life. More than that, it actually can be the mirror through which you come to see God's own delight for you, his beloved child. God delights in us. It bears repeating. God delights in you. We read about it all through the scriptures. Psalm 149:4 says, "For the Lord takes delight in his people." In 2 Samuel, in Psalm 18, King David reminds us that God's salvation, it comes out of God's delight in his children. And when we step into a rhythm of play, our eyes then can be opened to the kind of delight that God has for us. It's a rhythm that we need in our life. And so, what is play? When I use the word play, what do I mean? What does stepping into a spiritual rhythm of play look like? Well, Ken Shigematsu again, he says this. I can't find the page. That's okay, I have it in my notes. Always a backup. Just rocking this up here. Okay, I'm making too much. You're starting to see my dance moves. Ken Shigematsu says this, play comes in a variety of forms, including crafts, painting, acting, dancing, hiking, sports, blowing bubbles, splashing in water, laughing, joking. Whatever its expression, it helps us more fully appreciate how we live, move, and have our being in God. Play, I think, is anything that you do that brings you delight. That word delight's been so important for me this week as I've reflected on all this. Some people experience delight playing board games with friends or working with their hands, creating things like maybe building a birdhouse or knitting. For me, what brings me delight is skiing or playing soccer, or on occasion, I've dabbled in the art of winemaking. That's the kind of play that makes you lots of friends, I'm just going to say. Play can take all kinds of forms. But at its core, I think a spiritual rhythm of play is about stepping into things that bring you delight. A delight that helps you enjoy God and understand His delight for you. And a delight that helps you enjoy the gifts that He has given. So what might that look like for you? What would a rhythm of play look like in your life? Week after week, month after month, year after year. We face three significant barriers to cultivating play in our life with Jesus. Three barriers. First, some of us here today have a really hard time with the idea of connecting with God through play. Maybe this describes you. Perhaps you grew up in a household where Sundays were a day that you were told that play was off limits. You don't play sports on Sundays because that's too much like work. And Sundays are the Lord's day. They are a serious day. They are a day not to play. Now, don't get me wrong. There are good reasons to refrain from activities on Sundays. But the danger is this. That for some people, growing up with this Sunday message, some people have come to the conclusion that overall, God is displeased with people who have too much fun. Maybe that describes you. That play somehow displeases God and that he isn't interested in it really as part of our life with Him. And in some extreme cases, some people have developed a warped sense of God as someone who is opposed to people having fun at all. So if this describes you, let me simply invite you into a corrected view of God. He takes great delight in your joy. God takes pleasure in our good pleasures. And the second barrier to play as a spiritual rhythm is that we think that we can't let go of the other priorities in order to take up something so frivolous, right? Does this describe you? We're busy people. We are preoccupied with a full calendar and our other important responsibilities. With only 24 hours in a day, there is no time to play. A few days ago, I was sharing my thoughts about play around the dinner table with Gina. And I didn't realize that my 10-year-old daughter was listening to us talk. And so as I began to talk about the spiritual importance of play, she interrupted me and said, "But Daddy, you don't play with us." Boo. And you know what? She was right. Often, I don't play with my kids when they invite me to play. I'm invited into a rhythm of play with my kids all the time, but too often I decline their invitation. Why? I'm too busy. I've got other important things to do, other work to do. But think of all that's lost if I always say no. There will be times where I need to say no because there are other things to do. But think of all that's lost if there is no play. Think of the gift that God wants for me that I would miss out on. I can literally still hear my sweet daughter's voice saying, "But Daddy, you don't play with us." And as I've prayed and reflected on this week, I've come to hear it as God's prophetic voice calling me into the life that He wants for me. I don't hear it as an accusation, but rather a warning. A warning of what can be lost if play is always dismissed for something seemingly more important. I hear it as God's invitation to enjoy a gift, a beautiful gift that He has given me. I want to overcome that barrier. And I trust so do you. The third barrier we face is guilt. People often express a feeling of guilt for taking time to enjoy themselves. In our home, I have no problem being selfish with my time and taking time to play, go skiing or play soccer, whatever. But for Gina, it's much more difficult for her. As a mom, she feels a measure of guilt. And I know that her story is the story of many moms. That she feels a measure of guilt for taking time for herself to do something that brings her delight. Of course, her kids bring her delight, but there is an element of play beyond having fun with her kids that Gina needs. Yet, so many moms, they often forgo a rhythm of play for themselves because they feel guilty for taking time away from the family. Am I right? I think I'm right. But it's not just moms who feel that way. Many people, they feel guilty for making play a regular part of their lives. And if this is true for you today, I basically want you to give yourself permission to play with purpose, to begin a regular rhythm of something you enjoy as a means of cultivating your life with Jesus, a way of enjoying God and the good gifts he has given you. Another word for play as I close. Another word for play is the word recreation. Recreation. Play recreates us. It can be the means of recreating an enjoyment of God and his gifts in your life. The gift of his world. The gift of yourself, your person, your body, and the gift of relationships. Play can recreate joy in your life with God. When in the scriptures, when God promises to restore the people of God, the nation of Israel, after a time that they had spent in exile in Babylon, he gives them a picture of what this restored life would look like. The picture is in Zechariah chapter 8. And you know what the picture is? It's the picture of young boys and young girls out in the streets playing, where God's presence is waiting for them. Kids playing in the streets in the midst of God's presence. Imagine that. A street full of children playing in the presence of God, and you are one of them. That's the vision God has for each one of us today. A recreated life where play is the means to enjoy God and the good gifts that he's given to each one of us. May you find a rhythm of living with Jesus in this season of your life. Let's pray. Jesus, you have a way of reordering us. And sometimes it's a sinful pattern or habit that needs to be confessed and reordered. And sometimes it's something that we're unaware of, a way of living that you want to add into our life or shape our life around, perhaps, is a better way of saying it. And this morning, we ask that you reorder us, that you create space in our heart and mind to see play as a means of delighting in you and you delighting in us so that we might experience the fullness of the life that you have for us. Jesus, where there is hardened hearts, where there is a lack of joy, where there is a longing to experience something deep and meaningful, I pray you'd create space in our week to play. And as we play, give us eyes to see your delight, eyes to see your presence, and eyes to enjoy all that you have given us. And may we be those children dancing in the street, in the midst of your presence, living with Jesus. Amen.